Scripture reading for this morning's lesson will be taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. This can be found on page 1105 in the Bibles in the pew provided for you. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. And it reads, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize."
Good morning. What a blessing it is to be back home at Avondale. We have been gone so long, Debbie and I have, traveling up and down the road for Georgia School of Preaching. We feel like this is one of our second homes. I have to tell you, there is no place that we go, no place that we have been in the last 15 years, 600,000 miles that we've traveled for the school, where we feel more loved and are treated more graciously and kindly than we are here. So thank you for that. What a blessing it is to see such talent. This congregation has such a wealth of talent and such warmth and godliness and brotherly love among you and such courtesy and kindness and welcoming. I could go on and on. I won't, but thank you so much for always making Debbie and I feel welcome here. We always do. We feel like it's our home. Thank you, your elders, for allowing a Georgia School of Preaching and Biblical Studies to be here. We are entering our 21st year as a school and my 15th year as director. Debbie and I will retire from that work later this year and do some other things for the school. We're thankful that the Avondale elders see the benefit and the blessing of having the school here. I'll talk a little bit more about that during the afternoon service. Truly, the Christian life is a journey from being sinners to being winners. This morning, we're going to look at some key terms that have to do with that journey. And so what I want to ask you to do, if you would, first of all, is to mark in your Bibles Philippians chapter 3. We've had a wonderful reading this morning from 1 Corinthians 9. We will look at that again for just a second, and then go to Philippians 3, and then we'll also go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Lord willing, unless the Lord comes before the end of the sermon, and then it won't matter. It'll all be good anyway. The first key word that I want us to look at this morning, let me illustrate this way. Most of you know what these are, Cracker Jacks. In essence, it's junk food. It's not good for you. And that's one of the reasons why we love it, I guess. Caramel-covered popcorn and peanuts. And I don't know about any of you, but when I was a kid, we used to beg Mama and Daddy for this stuff. And we'd go to the store and we'd see it and we'd just beg for the Cracker Jacks. Not because we loved caramel or popcorn or peanuts, but because of that little word right up toward the top on the kind of the left-hand side of the package. It said there was a prize inside. And we wanted that prize. And we would beg and promise to do any of our homework and all of our housework and our chores just to get that prize. Well, if you're a Christian today, you are a Christian because you want the prize. And that first key word out of the Greek is the term brabeon. Brabeon. And we only find it in two places in all of the Bible, all of the New Testament. The first one we've already read, 1 Corinthians 9. Let's go back and kind of review that. Paul lived in a world that was dominated by Greek and Roman influence. And so there was a strong presence of athletics and athleticism. Not only did they have Olympic Games every 4 years, they had some sort of major athletic event every year, whether it was in Corinth or Delphi or at Olympia, some other place. But every single year, athletics was before their eyes, and they didn't have television. They didn't have the web, and yet it was a common part of their existence. So Paul uses those metaphors, and he uses them powerfully to talk about the Christian life. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the brabeon, the prize?" That first phrase from 1 Corinthians 9 flies in the face of a culture where the philosophy is everybody shows up, gets a trophy. Not in God's race. He says, "So run that you may obtain it." And everyone who competes for the prize, that word in the Greek is agonizomai. It's from which we get the word agony. Everyone who agonizes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they, the world, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, phartos. One that is corruptible. One that fades away. But we, for an imperishable crown. He says then, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty." Paul says, "I know the race I'm running." And the implication is for Corinth, they should as well. The implication is for us today, the very same thing. Philippians chapter 3, we'll go there in just a second and read several verses, but I want to note one verse to begin with. Philippians 3:14. Paul says in this same manner, "I press toward the mark," or some versions say, "I press toward the goal for the brabeon, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That first part of the phrase I want to emphasize. I press toward the goal or the mark. In the Greek, it is the word skapas. And Paul took it as an image from those Olympic athletic contests. The skapas was found in every Colosseum in the ancient world. If you go into the entrance to the Colosseum, on the other side, the exact opposite side of the entrance, was the skapas. And it was a square pillar, if you will, of stone, marble, some sort of square pillar, solid pillar, and it served two purposes. It was where the races began. It was the starting line. But also, it was the finish line. Paul says, "I press toward the finish line for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." If you and I are living the Christian life today, we don't live for the present. We live for the finish line. Because there is awarded the prize. And that's the image that Paul wants us to get in our minds today. That living the Christian life is pursuing the prize. It is running that race. It's participating in a lifelong athletic competition, spiritually speaking, so that we may obtain the prize. Now, going back to the illustration before by the Cracker Jacks, we'd go to the store with Mama and we'd go up and down the cereal aisle and looking at those boxes. And I don't care if it was chocolate-covered toadstools. If it had the word prize on the box, we wanted to go home with it. Man, there must be something in there that is worth our time and our affection. You know and I know, when Paul talks about this prize, it is the greatest prize of all. And we'll talk more about that in a second. But first of all, let us do this. Let us go to Philippians 3 and let Paul for us identify what the prize is not. What the prize is not. Because that's what you have to do, first of all, to be able to appreciate what the prize truly is. First of all, to identify what it isn't. Let's go to Philippians 3 and begin reading in verse 1 together. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. Paul says, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. And then Paul gives, if you will, his former resume, his dossier in Judaism. Let's read it. He says, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish or dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. For Paul, number one, what the prize is not, it is not earthly achievement. It is not earthly achievement in a religion. It's not earthly achievement in a career. It's not earthly achievement in any way. Paul says the things that were gained to me, the things that he listed, now he says they are loss. And notice he uses that term three times. In order to gain the prize, something has to be loss to us. Something has to be left behind. Something has to be sacrificed. And for us to say, that is not worth what I am striving for. And that's what Paul says in Philippians 3. He lists all of the things that would have placed him in the upper echelon of Judaism, the most respected of the respected among those in that religion. And Paul says, those things, if you look at them now in comparison to the prize that I'm striving for, in comparison to my gaining the knowledge of Christ, he said, they are but as dung, skubalon, a pile of refuse, a pile of waste. He says, that's what they are. Because they do not compare to the prize. And that's the message that God has for us throughout Scripture. Matthew 16, 26, Jesus says, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and does what? He loses his own soul. You see, you're losing something there, but you're losing the wrong thing. What will a man give in exchange for his soul, Jesus says. And Luke 12:15 through 21, when he paints that beautiful parable of that rich farmer, that rich fool, he says, one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that we possess. And then he talks about that rich farmer who has so much, and he doesn't know what to do with it, so he's just going to pull his barns down and build greater. God calls him a fool. He says, this night your soul will be required of you. Because the prize is not earthly, material accumulation. Brother Charlie did a wonderful job in Ecclesiastes beginning that class this morning. In Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 11, Solomon lists all the things that he had acquired in his life, all the cattle and all the servants and the wives and everything else. And he says two things about it in verse 11. He says it's vanity, but he also says it's like grasping for the wind. And he uses that metaphor in Ecclesiastes nine times. I think he knows what he was talking about. I think he knows from where he speaks. Because he's tried all of that. And he says it's like trying to grab hold of the wind. You'll walk away empty-handed at the end of the day. Because that is not the prize. Our world has some interesting things that it considers as prizes. Let's talk about the athletic world for a second. College football, of course, it's the championship, but it's also the Heisman Trophy. In cycling, it is the Tour de France yellow jersey. In golf, it's the green jacket. In the Peachtree Road Race, it's a t-shirt. And folks kill themselves on Cardiac Hill for that t-shirt. And you know, a year or two later, that t-shirt is in their grubby drawer, and that's when they bring it out and wear it. It wasn't such a prize after all, was it? And yet they gave an awful lot for it. You and I know that the prizes of this world are empty and meaningless. They are perishable crowns. They have no lasting value. They can be lost. They can be taken away. And it's interesting, when you obtain that prize once, you have to go back and do it again. Late Mr. Palmer, Arnold Palmer, 4 green jackets. Mr. Tiger Woods, 5. Mr. Jack Nicklaus, 6. Was not one good enough? I mean, where does it end? Where does it end? Paul says, this one thing I do, he says, I'm going to focus. I'm going to forget the things which were behind. And I'm going to press on to the things which are hidden. Others, I'm going to go forward. Brethren, we need to learn that lesson. We don't need to let the world hypnotize us into its philosophy of what the prize truly is, because that is absolutely what the prize is not. We have some friends who did mission work in Kenya for 10 years. They came back telling some interesting stories. And one of them was how they catch monkeys. What they'll do is they'll take a gourd and they'll cut a hole toward the bottom of it just big enough for that monkey to slide his hand in. And then inside that gourd, they'll place all kind of delectable things, you know, fruits, nuts, things that the monkey can smell, things that the monkey would want. And so they tie it to the base of a tree and they leave. And the monkey comes along and, oh, he smells it. He goes, oh, wow, got to have that. So he folds his little hand and he slides it inside. And he gets a great big gaping handful of what's inside. But now he has a problem. He can't get his hand out of the gourd. And you know what? The shame of it is, he won't let go. And so that prize that he wanted has now become bait. And he's trapped. His own lust. Paul says the prize is not earthly attainment. It is not earthly achievement. Well, if it's not that, then what makes the prize the prize? We won't go back and read it, but if you go back and scan Philippians 3, in the following verses, verse 1, verse 3, verse 7, 8, 9, 10, verse 12, verse 14, verse 18, verses 20 and 21, and I can give them to you again after worship if you want them. Paul mentions Christ 10 times. So now, in pursuing the prize that is the prize, it's all about Christ and not about Paul anymore. It's all about Christ. And everything centers around Him. And we seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33, because now we are going for a different prize. And it no longer has to do with what we want or what we think is right. Paul says, Philippians 3:20, our citizenship's now in heaven. Brethren, we are not citizens here. We are strangers here if we're children of God. Our citizenship sits at the right hand of the Father with our Lord Jesus. And that's where we're going to spend eternity. And that's where our prize is, and that's what makes the prize the prize. Because it's all about Christ. It's all about God. It's all about eternity. It's all about that reward that we want, that we seek, that so many others have sought and attained. Listen to the verbiage that's used in Scripture. Crown of life. Revelation 2:10, James 1:12. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1 verse 4. We won't get there and someone say, well, somebody's already taken your seat. That's the true prize. Abundant life, John 10:10. Eternal life, Mark 10 and verse 30. Living water, John chapter 4 verses 10 and 15. When Jesus told the Samaritan woman about that, in verse 15 she said, oh, give me that water that I don't have to come here and draw anymore. Oh, she wanted it. And Jesus talked about also in John 6 and verse 51 how it is living bread. If you eat of the living bread, you will not hunger in eternity. That's the prize. That's what makes the prize. The prize. Let's look at one other passage very quickly, and that's Matthew 13. Two parables that Jesus uses to illustrate this, beginning in verse 44. Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Ladies, if your husband came home today and said, "Honey, I found a piece of ground. We're going to sell everything we've got and we're going to buy it." You would take the checkbook away from him. My wife would, for sure. Jesus says, no, it's not the field. It's not the field. It's not that that ground is so good. It's that treasure that man found and hid there. That's why he wants it. Because of the prize or the treasure that he knows is in that field. Jesus goes on. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This merchant, he seeks multiplicity of pearls. But man, he finds one and he says, "This is worth more than all of that. And so I'll sell all of this that I may have that." That's what makes the prize the prize. There is no other like it. It is not awarded to us by our peers, but by our Heavenly Father. And when we have it, when we give or are given the crown of life, you don't have to go back and redo it. You don't have to go back and get your second, third, and fourth, and fifth, and sixth green jacket. You don't have to go back for a redo. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but instead chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. And here's the key, for he looked where? To the reward. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. There is no other prize like this. And you and I, as Christians, when we live this Christian life, and we are tempted sometimes to think, you know, where is all this going to end and is it really worth it? Salvation, Romans 5, 15, 16, and 18, remember this, salvation is a free gift. We don't earn it. There's no amount of righteousness, there's no amount of service, there's no amount of songs that we can sing or prayers we can pray or scriptures we can memorize. It's a free gift. But the Bible tells us we must strive for it. And in the striving for it, there is the greater appreciation of what makes the prize, the prize. In 1986, the National Institute of Mental Health conducted an experiment they called the Garden of Eden for laboratory rats, laboratory mice. In Washington, D.C., in their headquarters, they formed a huge terrarium, and they put in that terrarium everything that would be the wildest dream. I mean, the wildest, wildest dream of a laboratory mouse. Now, I don't know how you figure that out, but they did. And they put enough, whatever it was, in this giant terrarium to support a colony of 4,000 mice. When the experiment began, they only put 8 mice. 4 pairs, male and female. 8 mice. Given, I mean, freely given. They didn't have to do anything for it. They're just left there in that giant terrarium with enough stuff that is their wildest dream to support 4,000 of them. All they had to do is experience it, enjoy it, get to know one another. For sure they got to know one another because every 55 days their population doubled. When they got to be about 600 in number, those studying the experiment noticed a stark change. There was no more reproduction. There was cannibalism, older eating the younger. There was a lot of behavioral things that developed, almost like autism. The younger would stay over in one part of the terrarium and not have any social interaction with the other. And one of the things that they concluded after these researchers put all the data together, when this colony of mice became extinct, and it did, eventually there was not one left alive. Those researchers asked the question, why? One of their conclusions, from the very beginning, they didn't have anything to strive for. It was too easy. It was handed to them on a silver platter. And there was nothing they had to do. Brethren, we could not earn Calvary. We could not earn heaven if our lives and our souls depended on it. Someone else has already paid that price. But you and I must strive for that crown, that prize, every day. Agonizomai, Paul says, we must agonize for it. And that's what makes it the prize. Finally this morning, let's talk about the other key word. And that's the word finish. Finish. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11, very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll just read a few verses from 2 Corinthians 11. I promise, and then we'll be through. 2 Corinthians 11. Paul, in defending his genuine apostleship and the counterfeit nature of those who were claiming to be apostles but were not, here's what he says beginning of verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, hunger and thirst, fastings often, cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul said, this is my resume. This is my resume. Now, this is my journey. This is my race to finish and obtain the prize. Every time I read that, I don't know about you, every time I read that, I'm ashamed that I ever complained that the air conditioning was just 1 or 2 degrees too much in the auditorium. Or the cushions on the seats were not quite cushy enough. Or the preacher went 5 minutes over his time. You and I have never run a race like this. We never have. But thanks be unto God that someone else has. And what he said rings in our ears. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, the prize. It's the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Remember the last words Jesus spoke before he died, John 19, verse 30. It is finished. There's a little bitty football coach west of here. I'll end using this illustration. I know some of you hate him. Some of you who are Auburn fans and other fans, I know you don't like him. When he stands up next to his big old monster players, he's a shrimp. But he's got a few championships to his credit, and one of the things he teaches his players, finish. Finish the block, finish the play, finish the quarter, finish the half, finish the game, and by all means, finish the season. That's how we go from being sinners to winners. By realizing what the prize is not, and also by realizing what the true prize is, but also realizing in all of that, that our race is not going to be easy. It's not going to be filled with joy every day. It's going to be a race that has hardship and disappointment and sacrifice and pain and sorrow, just like our Lord, and just like so many who've gone before us. But if you and I will finish that race, there is a prize like no other when that race is done. If we can encourage you this morning to become a Christian or to come back to the Lord and be faithful to Him again, to finish the race, would you come while together we stand and sing?